Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. For the countless time in his life, former Vice President Al Gore has let us down, so Jim is joining us by phone today. The internet connection, not what it normally is, but Jim, let's start with the good news for the day, and that's that John Boehner, at least to this point, has been a pleasing surprise to a lot of conservatives over the past 48 to 72 hours. Late Thursday, it seemed to a lot of conservatives like he was perhaps giving in to a lot of the president's demands on a long-term deal for addressing the debt ceiling. It appears now that after the Sunday evening set of negotiations that Boehner has stood firm on no tax increases of any kind, as well as demanding that any spending cuts exceed the amount of the debt limit increase. The president now going on TV talking about how rich people are all lucky and that some people might actually want to, you know, deal with all of the debts situation with spending cuts, perish the thought. And so it looks like Boehner not only has stood his ground, but has the high ground on the PR war at the moment.
It is. And I think one of the things, one of the comments I put in the Morning Jolt, my other beverage-related publication, was noting a comment from a apolitical, I believe it was a Reuters contributor, who had said that they don't want to hear from any more lawmakers until the announcement is that we have a deal. And I think there's a lot of folks who are watching this who kind of get the feeling that, all right, since a grand deal is not likely to be a scenario, and we're likely to have some sort of two-year debt ceiling raising extension type deal, the question now is the posturing. And each side wants to look like we were the ones who were willing to be really reasonable, and those other guys walked away from it. So whenever you hear Democrats saying that we're close to having a deal, you know, that the Republicans are close to agreeing, never trust one side's assessment of the negotiating position of the other, because their intent is to, make it look as bad as possible. I think Boehner recognized that agreeing to anything resembling significant tax increases would have been a capitulation of the first order and probably would have created enormous problems for the Republican Party, beyond 2012. I mean, you might have seen a serious, shaking of the faith of the Republican grassroots if they elect a whole bunch of conservatives in 2010, who then promptly turn around and help Obama raise taxes. So part of the problem is that Obama is asking Republicans to do something that he was not willing to do and the Democrats in Congress were not willing to do for 2 years. You could call this perhaps the audacity of hope. You could call it perhaps just the audacity of audacity. I think a temporary deal, I think one that basically gets it to 2012 is the most likely scenario. What's kind of fascinating is to listen to Obama this morning go out and do his traditional, oh, I'm so reasonable routine, in which he says, some people, if you don't handle the revenue side, if you don't handle tax increases, then you have to make it up all through spending cuts.
Yeah.
And I'm sure every conservative is saying yes. Precisely. That's exactly. Heavens to Betsy. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? And what he described as a nightmare scenario. At one point, he also said, I'd rather do something that everybody wants, like new government programs.
Right.
Which, I mean, that's you're talking about the bubble, the mentality that he is surrounded by like-minded people and never really encounters a different perspective. That was a pretty ominous statement. But, when Obama gets in front of a microphone, we've kind of come to expect this. So I think this is, on the all in all, good news for conservatives. We'll see if we get real close to a debt ceiling, crash later this week. But I think for right now, Boehner is holding standing fast. And, every time a Republican lawmaker does that, we should be patting him on the back.
Absolutely right. And just, I think, even more proof that Obama sees himself on the low ground when it comes to the PR battle right now was when he talked about defending his idea for increased revenues. He once again, of course, talked about corporate jet owners and he talked about oil industry. He didn't even talk about the top tax bracket, which is a given from his position. He said he would never compromise on that again. So the fact that he's not even listing that among the areas he wants to address on the quote-unquote revenue side suggests that he knows he's fighting an uphill battle here, but that's clearly part of what he wants to do.
Yeah, I was just hoping for the return of the traditional villains of ATMs and the tonsil-stealing doctors. Those are the other favorite bad guys of Obama rhetoric that I always like to see the reappearance of.
Exactly. So I guess we could have gotten both the good and bad martinis out of that one, but why when we can give you two for one here on a Monday morning? On to the official bad martini of the day now, and the Minnesota Republicans who are running for president are getting a little bit heated now. Michelle Bachmann kind of taking the high road, at least for now, following these comments from Tim Pawlenty on Meet the Press on Sunday. David Gregory asking Tim Pawlenty, what's the difference between you and Congresswoman Bachmann?
Well, I like Congresswoman Bachman. I've campaigned for her. I respect her. But her record of accomplishment in Congress is non-existent. It's non-existent. And so we're not looking for folks who, you know, just have a speech capabilities. We're looking for people who can lead a large enterprise in a public setting and drive it to conclusion. I've done that. She hasn't.
Well, this isn't the worst martini in the world. Obviously, if you have multiple candidates seeking a nomination, they're going to be comparing records to one another. I think some are a little bit surprised at the language that Pawlenty used there. He simply could have said, look, all the things we're talking about, I've actually done as an executive. She's been less in a position to do that and really hasn't been able to do that in Congress. You're also going to have the Michelle Bachman / Sarah Palin advocates who are likely to line up behind her, probably not overly swayed by Pawlenty, but I think he's doing what he has to do, just a little bit stronger language than I think a lot of people would have expected.
Yeah, I was thinking about this when you suggested this is a bad martini, trying to think about if I were Pawlenty and I had to attack Bachman, how would I go about it? And, you know, she's taken a few votes in the past about earmarks and about ethanol that aren't great. But on the other hand, you're never really going to get Republican primary voters to not buy Michelle Bachman as a conservative.
Right.
You know, the charge that she's not really an authentic conservative is not going to fly. So I think the best way to handle it, and he's kind of in the neighborhood of this, but I think saying that she doesn't have any accomplishments in Congress is probably a little stronger and a little harsher than it's going to play, particularly if you want to win over somebody who's leaning in her direction right now. And what I was thinking about is that one of the big, you know, arguments we saw back in 2008 was Republicans who said, look, Barack Obama has never run anything in his life. He has no managerial experience. He has no executive experience. The only thing he's ever run is a Senate office and his, you know, one-man community organizing operation out there. And the idea that the role of a legislator and the role of an executive are different. And I think if Pawlenty had couched his criticism of Obama on those terms. Now, by the way, once Republicans nominated John McCain, it was kind of tough to...
Right.
We can't put a senator in the Oval Office. Okay, we can't put a senator in the Oval Office because we're running one, too. So the idea that if he had kind of made that kind of argument against Obama, and then when, you know, when asked about Bachman, you know, say, well, you know, I don't want to, you know, speak ill of another Republican, but I do think that executive experience is important because as a governor, I learned blah, 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 blah. And that'd be kind of a subtle way to say, hey, she's not an executive experience. She hasn't run things. And I think that's probably the least damaging approach, and you know, we've seen this happen more in Democratic primaries, but it happens in, you know, when you see these party fights, they call it murder-suicide, that basically if you get too nasty and too negative on one of your, you know, rivals within your party, it works, it brings down the other person, but people don't think particularly well of you either, and so they end up going to a third person. So I don't know who the third strongest option in Iowa is, but if I were them, I'd love the idea of a huge, nasty fight between Bachman and Pawlenty.
Yeah, certainly could be the case. And you mentioned how the executive experience line could have worked but didn't work against Obama in 2008. It's Obama himself who watered down the definition of executive experience to the point of, well, he's running the campaign to be president, and that's executive experience in and of itself. So
exactly, yeah, you know.
Not exactly a high threshold to meet anymore, if that's our new definition. But
by that standard, every candidate who's running for office has made that.
Exactly right. On to, I guess, Meet the Press Part 2 here in our crazy martini, or should I say ridiculous martini, Jim, because we talked a little while ago, a few weeks ago, when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was on Meet the Press, and David Gregory trotted out this chart of how much worse the unemployment rate is, the amount of American debt is, and so forth. And W. Wasserman Schultz simply responded to it by saying, well, that's proof that Obama's turned the economy around. David Gregory, once again, bringing it out this time with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner.
Here's the chart of the president's economic record. This is based on government information, Treasury Department, U.S. Bureau of Labor stats. Unemployment 7.3% on inauguration day, up to 9.2% with the latest report, up 26%. You see the debt figures up 35%.
Well, David, let me just say, that's a ridiculous table. If you step back and you look at what's happened in the American economy, remember, when the president took office...
And I'm just going to cut it off there because we know what the argument is once we get back.
Inherited.
Exactly.
Barack
right.
Obama and his team talk more about what they inherited than Paris Hilton. After a while, it wasn't a terribly compelling message in the 2010 midterms. Why they think it would be even more compelling in 2012 doesn't quite fly with me. And we talked a bit about the bad numbers on Friday morning, but I was talking to a couple folks this weekend. There's a sense that because this was the third straight month of bad, you know, the unemployment rate itching up, and the fact that the entirety of Monday's report was so bad – this may be kind of one of the breakthrough numbers that each month at the first Friday of the month we get some sort of bad news, but this one hit some sort of psychological barrier. I think it remains to be seen. We'll have to see if some poll numbers come out, but I think it's really tough to argue that we're in anything resembling a meaningful recovery. I think we're stagnating right now is the way most people would characterize it. And there are a couple of folks who've said, look, once you go back to the adjusted numbers of previous months, it's entirely possible that we'll say that we lost jobs in June. And you know what? If you're losing jobs, you're not in a recovery. But, all this is ridiculous talk, according to Tim Geithner.
And also to David Plouffe, who says Americans don't really care about the unemployment rate. So clearly, this administration's in touch with the people across the country.
Keep in mind, he got smacked down by Obama today, who said that the American people aren't worried about some Treasury auction, but they are worried about their jobs. So maybe Plouffe and Obama need to have some sort of meeting and decide whether it is the American people really do worry about jobs or not and get on the same page and then get back to it.
Uh-oh, what happened to no drama Obama? We're already seeing it, and it's not even August yet of the year before the election. That can only portend to be a potential good martini somewhere down the road. Jim,
Plouffe, look out for that bus. Oh, no.
Jim, have a great day. Hopefully Al Gore will have us fixed up on the internet tomorrow, and we'll talk again then.
Hope so, Greg. See ya.
Tim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.